Your insurance company may have written your policy, but they don't decide the law. Call the Wallace Firm now at 844-844-WINS. By holding insurance accountable, the Wallace Firm is helping our community rebuild. That's 844-844-WINS or visit wallacewins.com. Proud partner of Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. Curtis, how's your 4th of July weekend?
It was good. It was nice to have, you know, three straight days off where I wasn't sick.
Yeah, how great was that?
It's kind of interesting, but
that's right. That's right. You've been a little back and forth. So, what'd you do? What'd you do for 4th of July?
Not a lot because of all this stuff going on, and for me, I'm kind of waiting till this weekend because one of my buddies is going to be in town. So usually we do stuff every year, but this
year you're going to go hard to the hoop this weekend.
Yep. So this weekend last weekend we played some video games and just hung out. Mm-hmm. Recuperated, and then next weekend's gonna be the weekend next weekend.
Jesse, sure. Are you still hungover?
What? Sorry, what did you say?
I have a feeling you started drinking on Friday, and you're now just kind of starting to come out of it.
If by Friday you mean Thursday night at 9:01, yes, Friday.
Not a minute earlier.
Not a minute earlier. There you go.
I did not lose track of my days, unlike two of my friends who got drunk on simultaneous days and completely erased a whole day out of existence in their lives. On Sunday, one of my friends woke
Friday
up
Friday threw everybody off. Let me tell you that. Having Friday off threw me off.
It didn't even throw me. You know what? Yesterday threw me off.
That it was
yesterday
Sunday?
It felt like I should be like, wait, no. I had my one day off a week.
That's what I'm saying.
Like I should be doing something.
Were you at? Were you working your other job?
I was at my other job Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. So
okay,
I had to take a small drinking break during that point. But the second I got home,
you went back at it. Went hard.
It's like I never stopped. Okay. It was just like a little nap.
Curtis, you make up for whatever you weren't able to do this weekend. I'm sure I don't have to. I already know what you're going to do this weekend. So it's just one day. Don't think too much about it. So. Lakers head coach, Frank Vogel, he said he was surprised about J.R. Smith. One specific thing that he was really surprised about, here's head coach Frank Vogel from earlier today.
Watching him work out, both when we almost brought him in a few months back, and then watching him work out, I think yesterday and today was the 2 days that he was in. It's clear that he's done a remarkable job of keeping himself in shape and staying ready. And I think this is a really a great story. When you look at a guy that was potentially could be out of the league, that was a starter on a finals team, a couple years back, a champion. And, for him to have the perseverance to stay ready and give himself this opportunity, I think is to be commended. Watching him work out. Hey, his nickname is Swish for a reason, right? He's a shot maker, right? A big time shot maker. And like I said, he looks like he's in terrific physical condition. And like we said all along, I think he's really going to help us.
All right, that's Frank Vogel talking about J.R. Smith. Listen, I mentioned this and I was going to, wait a little bit on it. So we talked about J.R. I said that there's depth in that position. At the same time, it's not the strength of the Lakers. It's not like the Lakers have an all-star point guard or an all-star shooting guard. They don't. So J.R. Smith's going to come in. He'll have a specific role. The other player that the Lakers brought in before they brought J.R. Smith in, this was in the buyout market, right? You got Markieff Morris, and here's Coach talking about Deion Waiters. All right, here's Curtis. You ready for that one? This is head coach Frank Vogel talking about the progress being made so far on Deion Waiters.
Shot the heck out of the ball yesterday, I can tell you that much. That was an encouraging thing. He's working extremely hard, looks really good. I think like JR, both of these guys haven't played a lot of full contact basketball in some time, even prior to the hiatus. So conditioning will be a concern, but the talent is obvious when you watch him work out, when you watch him handle the ball and, create shots off the bounce. He's one of the more talented guys in this league. So he's looked really good. And again, if we can get these guys brought along at the right pace from a conditioning standpoint, I feel like both of them are going to help us.
Vogel. So I just want to stick on that for a quick second. So you got Deion Waiters, you got J.R. Smith, Alex Caruso, and KCP. I mentioned this last week, man. I put up a poll of who should get that starting spot, Caruso or KCP. And I think it was maybe 55% last week that were trying to make the case, no, give it to Alex Caruso. It should go to Caruso. I personally would like to see KCP in that starting lineup. Lakers got a lot of guards. Rondo's there. Danny Green's there. It's not that the Lakers don't have a lot of players in that position. The question is going to come down to how productive are these players going to be? Will they be able to play defense on a consistent basis? Will they hit big shots when LeBron James, you know, obviously tries to find one of these players? So from not having Deion Waiters and not having J.R. Smith, two guys that can kind of get a shot on their own, specifically Deion Waiters, who's I think only 28 years old, to now having players that can do that, okay, that's going to be helpful for the Lakers. It definitely is. And then the last thing that I want to play from head coach Frank Vogel, I talked about how Lionel Hollins, one of the assistant coaches for the Lakers, was deemed too high risk to travel. Here's Coach talking about that.
It was very disappointing. Coach Lionel, you know, had been intent on going the entire time. You know, we've talked to our whole staff about, you know, sort of that this is a personal choice thing. You know, everyone is has the ability to opt out if they're not comfortable with the pandemic and everything that comes along with the virus. And you know, Lionel was okay with it. He was ready to go down with us. You know, after the medical review, it was recommended that he does not go, and he accepted the recommendation, and we support that fully. And you know, we all have to do what's in our best interest to stay safe. Of course, Lionel's going to do that. And you know, the one thing I'm excited about with all the staff that we've talked about in terms of who's going to be in the bubble and who's going to be working outside is that we're all still doing our jobs. You know, and we're going to continue to basically work remotely as opposed to working in person. And, you know, we anticipate Coach Lionel is still going to be every bit a part of, you know, our journey here, participating in staff meetings, in team meetings, observing practice. If there's anything we've learned over the last few months is you can really get a lot done over Zoom.
All right, that's head coach Frank Vogel. Okay, let's do this when we come back. I know we got a few callers that want to be a part of the show. I'll answer your guys' calls when we come back, 877-710-ESPN, plus Stephen A. Smith. Who would you rather play, Blazers or the Pelicans in that first round? And I think this is just strictly from an entertainment perspective. We'll do that as well coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710-ESPN. All right, Manuel and Gardena. Thank you for calling, buddy. What's going on, Manuel?
Oh, sweet stack. I'm going to get to the Laker question that you had at the end of my call. However, I want to direct this to Team Losers, a.k.a. the Mason Clan, all of them, whoever's down with them. You guys lost. Stop whining. The we that my man Allen kept referencing, maybe because he's quarter French and he likes saying we a lot. I don't know. But I do know it was representing Sliwa Nation, which I am a proud member of. So once again, Team Mason, look up at the scoreboard. You lost. Enough. Now,
Manuel, I appreciate it.
Let me just say this.
Let me just say this. Took down 9 dogs. I don't know what they want me to tell them. Like, there's nothing else for me to say. I had 9 of them. So
you won.
By the way, when I do look at the camera was definitely on the top of my head for about 80% of it. So my bad on that front. But I had 9 hot dogs, so there's nothing more
exactly.
There. All right, what do you got? Manuel, what else you got on the Laker front?
All right. So what I want is I do want Portland, okay? You know what? I'm not scared of them. They were full throttle last year, and they choked when they came up against Golden State. I don't want anybody trying to say anything once the Lakers tie the Celtics after this season about anything. So I want the
Can you imagine how much chirping is going to be going on if Lakers win it this year in a COVID year and it's 17 to tie the Celtics?
Which they should be chirping because this is the hardest championship ever. Mm. The most adversity will be to the champ, which will be the Los Angeles Lakers. Loving it, Sliwa.
Keep Manuel, you thank you for calling, winner. My man. Appreciate you calling in. Call in look, we got Kirk coming up tomorrow and Wednesday. You calling anytime?
You know I am, man. That's my man, the Oak Town Mac laying hats. Kirk.
Well, there's a lot of work that's coming on.
All right. Thank you, Manuel. I appreciate it, bud. All right. That's Manuel from Gardena. So this is what Manuel is referring to when he's talking about the Portland. And I mentioned this, that Stephen A. Smith on First Take. Would you rather play the Blazers in that eighth spot, or would you rather play the Pelicans? Now, Stephen A. Smith's not worried about what's in the best interest of the Lakers. Stephen A. is just talking about from a competitive perspective, entertainment perspective. Here's Stephen A. Smith breaking that down.
I mean, I respect the great, you know, the shining star that is Zion Williamson. He's box office. We get all of that. But I'm sorry, Dame time. I can't ignore that. You know, this brother that sent Paul George from out of OKC to L.A. This same brother that sent Russell Westbrook from OKC to Houston. This same brother that could drop 50 any given moment, that as the break was averaging 28.9 points per game or 45%. Shooting and nearly 40% from three-point range. His backcourt mate is CJ McCollum. I mean, you see what these brothers are capable of doing. You know this is a guard area oriented game in today's day and age of the NBA. Then you got Melo, who can get hot and do some things. If Nurkic could come back healthy as well, they're experienced, they're battle tested, they're not going to shrink beneath the spotlight. None of those kind of things are going to happen. I would say to you that as much as I respect Ja Morant and the greatness he's showing us, Zion Williamson and the greatness he's showing up, they're relative puppies in the grand scheme of things as it pertains to the NBA, even though these are abnormal times. In the end, I'm thinking about experience. I'm thinking about veteran leadership. I'm thinking about dudes who know how to close. And if there's one thing we will never, ever accuse Dame time of, is having an inability to close.
All right, so it's Stephen A. Smith. He obviously wants to see Damian Lillard. He obviously wants to see CJ McCollum. Can I just say this? Let's just kind of get this out. Can we stop, you know, talking about the Portland Trail Blazers, that they're going to be, you know, this big problem or anything like that? Lakers would still run the Blazers. So if the Blazers end up playing the Lakers in the first round, let's stop pretending like it's going to be the Los Angeles Clippers. There's only one team that's really going to give the Lakers trouble. It's the Clippers. You know, whether you want to admit that or not, I know most basketball fans obviously understand. The Clippers are the only team that's going to legitimately give the Lakers an issue, and vice versa. If you're the Clippers, they're going to run through the Nuggets. They're going to run through the Dallas Mavericks, whoever they have to face in the, you know, first and second round to get to the Los Angeles Lakers. Portland would be it'd be a fun matchup. Damian Lillard is a fantastic player. CJ McCollum is a nice shooting guard. Can we stop pretending as if, you know, the Portland Trail Blazers are really going to hand the Lakers a seven-game series or something along those lines? I know they were in the Western Conference Championship last year. I'm well aware of it. I'm well aware of what they've accomplished and the way they got Paul George basically out of Oklahoma City and Russell Westbrook's now in Houston. I get all that. I know how clutch Damian Lillard is. But can we stop pretending as if the Portland Trail Blazers are this just juggernaut, and if the Lakers face them, oh, it's going to be just so much drama. They have more experience, of course, than the Pelicans. They have more experience, of course, than Memphis. They have players that have been there and they've done it. Sometimes it's more the teams that have absolutely nothing to lose or expected to lose, have never been there before. That actually might be more dangerous. I don't know how this one will play out. You know, for me personally, I've said that playing Memphis in the first round would probably be maybe the most boring of the three matchups. I think there's actually more storylines if the Lakers played the Sacramento Kings than the Memphis Grizzlies. And, you know, obviously we have our reasons for that. But at the same time, whoever the Lakers face in the first round, just going to be happy to get to that moment, happy to see if the Lakers get that opportunity to get an NBA championship. But I'm not one to continue to push down on the gas pedal and say that the Portland Trailblazers are going to be just this unbelievable opponent. All right, we got Shootout coming up next. A little bit later in the show, Bobby Marks. So Bobby Marks, who's front office insider for ESPN, we'll have him on right around 8:30 or so. So Bobby Marks will come and give us kind of the latest, the breakdown, the bubble, some of the chances that the Lakers have when we're in Orlando. But coming up next, a Shootout. Stay right here. Lakers talk on 710 ESPN. All right. So sometimes the best conversations are off the air. because when I say the Portland Trail Blazers, don't be concerned about the Blazers. Let's not put them on this pedestal. And then Jesse says, you know, don't underestimate Damian Lillard. Here's the thing, Jess. I have no reason to underestimate Dame. Dame doesn't have enough help. You know what I mean? Like, and I know I said this off the air. Dame needs a big time player with him. You know, like Dame needs Kawhi or Dame needs Anthony Davis. Like, in order for the Portland Trailblazers to have a legitimate chance of winning an NBA championship, they just don't have enough star power. You know what I mean? Like, they just don't have enough star power. So that's what I mean. It's not like I'm trying to disrespect Damian Lillard or the Blazers. I just, until you have a player better than Damian Lillard on a team, I don't know how that team's going to win. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. And I am going to break you off right there because I have breaking news.
Okay, what do you got
from
there?
Shams. Lakers center Dwight Howard told The Athletic and Stadium Today that he has decided to play in the restarted NBA season.
Okay, there you go.
Join the team on Thursday in Orlando and will donate his remaining game checks to his nonprofit campaign, Breathe Again. Look at that.
All right, let me stay on this for a quick second. Shams Charania making it happen as always. I mean, unbelievable. The work that he's been doing. But let me say this about Dwight. I started off the show actually talking about if the Lakers – I didn't feel good saying, well, hypothetically, if he doesn't play, the Lakers can still win a championship. And I believe that. I mean, if he didn't play, I still believe they can. But damn, is it nice to have Dwight Howard with you, right? That's a nice luxury. By the way, Avery Bradley as well. Those are huge. Those are key pieces for the Lakers from a role player perspective. But what this gives the Lakers – I'll read it off again. Lakers center Dwight Howard told The Athletic in the Stadium, today he has decided to play and restarted NBA season, join the team on Thursday in Orlando, and will donate his remaining game checks to his nonprofit campaign, Breathe Again. So, first of all, and we're going to get into Shootout in just a second, but let me compliment. I want to spend some time complimenting Dwight Howard because – for him to donate the remaining of his checks to that nonprofit campaign, Breathe Again. Dwight was very, very vocal over these last couple of months talking about how right now is an opportunity where he doesn't want the game to be a distraction towards this movement, this attention towards social injustice, this attention towards police brutality. And I think most Laker fans feel the same way. It wasn't just this predicament over these last couple of months where you thought, man, Dwight Howard seems like he's a changed man. I got a chance, you know, all year doing the pre and the post, getting a chance to be at practices, get an opportunity to have a mic in front of him and just listen to some of the things that he's saying or asking him questions. He's a unique individual right now. His headspace of what he thinks, what he believes in, why he's doing what he's doing, everything is for the team. Like he has... It sounds like he's in an incredible place mentally compared to maybe different times of his career. So I'm not surprised that that Dwight will be doing this. And, you know, obviously for the Lakers from a basketball perspective, you'd much rather go into a dogfight in Orlando with Dwight Howard than without Dwight Howard. So the scenarios that I was trying to play out before, what would it look like? What happens? We don't have to worry about that anymore. All right, so that's Lakers center Dwight Howard. He will be a part of the Lakers restart. He'll be joining the team coming up this Thursday in Orlando. Shams Charania. Let's get some Shootout started. All right, as always, business owners, call Brad Wallace and the Wallace Firm. Your insurance company may have written your policy, but they don't decide the law. Call 844-844-WINS. For a free consultation and review of your policy to see if you are eligible for compensation for lost revenue. Fellas, you know, I have to lawyer up on Thursday. So, you know, I go to my guy, Brad Wallace, and say, hey, Brad, look, I might need you here.
Do we have a strong case?
There is no case. It's just a matter of proving the truth. And that's all it is. So, by the way, that's I will just stay on this for a second. That's the Dwight part of it. From a basketball perspective, kind of a relief. The way you were saying we got breaking news and you mentioned Dwight, the thing that went in my head, you know,
was, oh yes or oh no?
I kind of was like, oh no. I'm like, oh man, are we going to lose Dwight too? But that's good news. That's not small news. That's great for the Lakers to have Dwight.
No, it's fantastic news. As you know, you talked about throughout the show, it's, you know, is he kind of central or like vital, absolutely vital to win that chip? Probably not. But that doesn't mean you don't want him there. And that doesn't mean that his presence does and will make a difference.
Let's use this. Let's use this as an example. Let's say Nurkic comes back, right? Portland. Let's say Hassan Whiteside in that series against Portland, Zach Collins. All of a sudden, you got some big men for Portland, right? Now, all of a sudden, you have some size that's there.
You have matchable size.
And you have AD and JaVale McGee starting the game. So Dwight's supposed to be the player that comes in and gives some of these guys a little bit of rest, right? Like, even there's times AD's on the bench. AD doesn't have to be in every time Dwight's in. Sometimes Lakers will go now Markieff, Morris, whatever. Like, just from a rotational perspective, I'm happy to hear that Dwight will be a part of the mix here. So, all right, Jess, why don't you get things started, buddy?
All right. So I saw something interesting during the show just a couple minutes ago on Twitter. Shout-outs to Silver Screen and Roll. Saw the story from there. I guess Rob Lowe has a new podcast out called Literally with Rob Lowe. Oh, I'm pretty sure that is a typo. I'm pretty sure he meant to write Chris Traeger, not Rob Lowe, because that's all I think of when I see a Rob Lowe. I immediately think of it's either Chris Traeger or Rob Pelinka, to be honest with you. It's always
literally
one of those two.
And Perkins. This guy. Hey, but by the way, his role in Parks and Rec, for those who don't know, I've been on a Parks and Rec binge watch because Jesse and Curtis recommended it, and it's a fantastic show. One of the best characters you're ever going to see in any sitcom is Ron Swanson, but Rob Lowe plays, you know, obviously what's his name in the
Chris Traeger.
Chris Traeger.
Christopher Traeger.
But his role is great. Like, he is a fantastic actor. Like, the way he just plays his specific role is so unique, right? Like, just being this health fit guy, always
super
tired, health-nut. Yep, always positive.
Runs like 30 miles a day. Nothing, no negative. I remember one episode he says he's going through a stressful time. He's going through a court trial with Leslie Knope.
Oh, yeah,
and he takes
this
bag of like vitamins and he says, this is to keep my mood up. I took my shot of B12 today. I have all these vitamins because literally an ounce of depression will hurt me. Oh, no.
That is good.
What depression
feels like? So what do you have?
All right. So his first guest or one of his first guests was the one and only Magic Johnson. And previously, Rob Lowe was a guest on the Part of My Take podcast where he actually asked them, hey, Magic is going to be one of my first guests. What's one of the questions you think I should ask him? And without any doubt, the Part of My Take guys asked Rob Lowe to ask Magic Johnson about his Twitter. So Rob Lowe asked him, you know, these guys wanted me to ask you about your Twitter. Do you have a person writing for you? Or what is so obsessive about Magic Johnson's Twitter? Now, for people who don't know, go look at Magic Johnson's tweets.
Getting in it right now. Okay. So wait, does that mean his tweets? No, definitely. So he has somebody that stole.
So this is
tweets,
what he said.
No?
He says, okay. he says, I don't know. No, I have someone write them out. I tell them what I want to say and they write them.
Okay.
So he does have a ghost writer. So my question to you is, if you're Magic Johnson's ghost writer and you're his Twitter ghost writer, and he tells you to write something, are you writing it in per word what he's saying, or are you kind of simplifying it? Because if you kind of look back at past Magic Johnson's tweets, they're very simple, very to the point, and very robotic, to be honest with you.
Well, okay, so I've seen some of them. Like, there's one a few days ago, or actually back when Avery Bradley decided that he wasn't, you know, going to join the Lakers. I'll read it, actually. So this is from Irvin Magic Johnson, his Twitter account. It says, the Lakers losing Avery Bradley is a tough loss and will make it more difficult for them to win the NBA championship. Like, it's as obvious as possible. When I read that, and there were a lot of people that were commenting on it and retweeting and saying, thank you, Magic, or something along those lines. When I read it, I was like, okay. That definitely didn't sound like – that was so non-emotional it didn't sound like magic. But trust me, there are plenty of other times where we're in the heat of a, you know, when I say heat of the moment, I'm talking about when we're in season, right? And there's things mm-hmm. going on. It's about Lakers basketball, whatever the case is. And he'll send out tweets. I'm like, that's definitely coming from Magic Johnson. And, you know, it's from the heart, or it's his emotion that's kind of describing whatever his emotion is. So I can see how people look at it and like, all right, there's definitely the robotic portion of it. But also, I think there's enough examples out there that that also show that, okay, this guy is also – he's still speaking from – you know, still speaking from the heart as well.
Oh, I'm sure people know, don't doubt that. So here we go. I knew there was one tweet in mind that I had because I remember I retweeted it because I thought it was the funniest things ever. So this is from December 25th. So talking about that the Laker game, right, when the Lakers mm-hmm. faced the Clippers.
He oh, okay, said, yeah, that's right, the Christmas game. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in both losses to the Clippers this season, the Lakers played great for the first 3.5 quarters and then didn't play well in the last 5 minutes of the game. That's the tweet.
Yeah, that what I would expect from Magic would be something along the lines of, like, if you can't beat the Clippers, you're not going to win a champion. You know, like something like that. But yeah, that's definitely robotic. Doesn't get more robotic than that.
If it's one thing, it's entertaining. And you know what? I'm all for that. If it's entertaining, then I'm all for it.
You know what? Magic has gone through, I think with Laker fans, he's gone through, it's been kind of a roller coaster of emotions, I think, for Laker fans with Magic.
Oh, still, definitely.
Still at the end of the day, when the dust settles, for me personally, that's Magic Johnson. And I don't think you're going to find as big of a Laker fan than Magic Johnson. So, you know, that's kind of how I always have felt about Magic, even though there are times, you know, when, you know, obviously he stepped down from being president of the Los Angeles Lakers, really awkward time. I mean, incredibly awkward time. And then the next couple of, you know, weeks, months after that, whatever the case is, where you kind of got to find out a lot behind the scenes, and it was a bad look for the Lakers. So I think ultimately, you know, Magic is Magic. Some people, and I notice it because people will send out tweets or I'll talk about Magic, and, you know, there's kind of a mix of emotions for me. He's always going to be Magic Johnson. I always think he's, you know, arguably one of the biggest Laker fans there is on this planet. So that's kind of how I look at that. Curtis, what do you got there, bud?
I don't have anything.
Okay, I got one for you. Okay, so do you guys see this thing about Greg Popovich? So Nets general manager Sean Marks denied that there was an offer to Greg Popovich. They call it the Godfather offer, right? There were some rumors that were out there. The Let's Get Technical podcast, which is former NBA player Gerald Brown, Rasheed Wallace was on there, Bonzi Wells, and guest Amin Alhassan, who we've had obviously a part of the show. He's been on a lot of the shows for 710 ESPN. So one of the quotes here, I'm going to read this off. This is coming from Gerald Brown. There's a story going around that the owner of the Brooklyn Nets is looking to make a Godfather offer to Greg Popovich. And when I say the Godfather offer, it's something he can't refuse. Hearing this news, and it's probably going to circulate more in the days to come, I'm not really buying it at all. So I love these NBA stories, right? Like, I love all these NBA topics. This is one that I think I can never read Greg Popovich, right? Greg Popovich is one of those coaches. I think one of the reasons why I respect him so much, I respect what he's done with the San Antonio Spurs. Kind of just, if you're going left, he's probably going right. You know, if you're worried about other teams and you're talking this and talking that, Greg Popovich isn't paying attention to any of that. Greg Popovich worries about the Spurs. Of course, you know, this is Lakers talk, Laker fans all over the place. Doesn't mean you can't respect one of the greatest to ever do it. And that's what, you know, Greg Popovich is.
He's like the Bill Belichick of the NBA. 100%. The more personality.
100%. You're right. Actually, yeah, a little bit more personality where, you know, where Bill Belichick's going to give you nothing, just nothing to work with. But that's Belichick. Like, I love that because that's Belichick. He doesn't care. He doesn't care what you think. He doesn't care.
I'm going to win football games.
Exactly. That's my guy right there. Okay. So with Pop, there's a team in Brooklyn that is ridiculous. I mean, to have Kevin Durant and to have Kyrie Irving on the same team, who, by the way, both have a lot of experience with Greg Popovich because of the Olympics, right? They've had opportunities to play when Pop is, you know, coaching, and I'm sure there's respect everywhere from there. So this Godfather offer to go coach the Brooklyn Nets, which, by the way, if the Spurs don't make the playoffs, do you guys know that I think it's been 22 years in a row that Greg Popovich and the San Antonio Spurs have made the postseason? It's the longest active streak, and I think in professional sports when it comes to, you know, a coach and a player. My only thing is this. If Greg Popovich wanted to leave the Spurs, couldn't he go anywhere he wanted?
Oh, like, yeah.
Couldn't he just pick any team he wanted, have his agent reach out to one of the general managers and just say, hey, in arguably one of the instant. Greatest coaches in basketball is interested in coaching your team, but this is what it would have to be for him to be there. So I just say that because I don't know if there's any, you know, truth to these rumors. Personally, I don't think there would be because I just don't see Pop leaving San Antonio. But at the same time, maybe as he gets kind of towards the end of his career, we know he's, you know, obviously I think in his 70s right now, maybe this would be kind of the time, an interesting predicament for him to do it. What do you guys think? You guys think any chance Pop leaves the Spurs? Curtis, what do you think? Any chance he leaves?
If he does, I think his move is going to be to make appoint the new head coach as one of his assistants, namely
Becky Hamilton.
Having Becky be the first female NBA coach. I think that's the only way that would happen. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. My buddy is a diehard Spurs fan, and he hopes every year that, you know, Pop just comes back for another. Because didn't Pop originally say once Tim Duncan was out,
he was going to retire? He said that like a good five, six years ago. I remember reading that. And yep, now he's still going strong.
By the way, Duncan's part of the coaching staff now.
Oh, that's right. He has long hair now and like dreads.
Yep. I remember during one of the Lakers games. Lakers were about to play the Spurs at Staples Center. And Michael and I were looking at, you know, Duncan was trying to teach one of the big men. Maybe I forget who he was working with. Maybe he was working with LaMarcus Aldridge. I can't remember. So whoever he was working with, he's just like working with him on footwork and he's showing, you know, certain moves. And both me and MT are looking at each other and I'm like, MT, this guy looks like he can suit up right now. Like he looked like he was in great shape. But I don't know. I don't know if I could see Greg Popovich ever coaching anywhere else. You know, maybe this is also part of, you know, to ownership to show Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, and I get it. They're going to bring in whatever coach that they would love for them to have. They're going to go down that list. And if on the top of the list is Greg Popovich and they got to work their way down, well, now if Popovich doesn't work, they'll just keep going down that list until they eventually find a head coach that they feel is going to be a good fit.
Yeah, I don't think Pop is going to leave just because why would he? There's no need for him to leave. He doesn't need to go to prove anything.
I just don't
think
the Spurs. It's true, but I just don't think the Spurs. It doesn't look like Spurs are going to be competitive for a little bit. You know what I mean? I think they finally have got to the end of their run.
I agree with that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But also, if I'm Pop, I'm also the same thing. What, you know,
does
Pop is one of the older coaches.
Kids?
See, that's where it goes to. You know, mm-hmm. like I haven't got any kind of sense of Pop, you know, being that specific kind of like mentor coach, you know,
I don't know if he wants to do it at this stage of his career. You know, if there was a team out there that he thought was ready, you know, the roster is good, they're definitely going to have a chance to compete for a championship. Who knows? Maybe he does do it. I don't think so.
But you know what? If he does, and it is the Nets, you know what? At least it's the same color scheme. So he won't even, you know, it's like kind of just moving city.
And I'm sure that's going to be very, very thick in his mind. All right, what else you got there?
All right, so today is July 6th. Do you know whose birthday it is today, Alan?
July 6th. Tell me, whose birthday is it?
It is the one, the only Zion Williamson.
Mm, Zion.
Finally exits his teenage years.
What a washed up scrub. has no potential.
Finally turns 20 years young. Mm-hmm. And he got a special, special happy birthday message from the most randomest person you will ever find a happy birthday message getting from.
All right, what does he got?
So we all remember Tiger King.
Oh, yeah, we definitely remember Tiger King. Absolutely.
Tiger King, Joe Exotic.
So let me just, before you go any further, so are we tying in, how are we tying in Tiger King to Zion Williamson? I'm very interested to hear how this ties together.
So, do you remember Carol Baskins?
Carol did it, bro. Carol did it.
Fed her husband to tigers. Yes, mm-hmm. That one. She recorded a special video message to Zion.
Get out of here.
Very happy birthday, and we have the audio from that. Curtis, hit that Carol Baskins happy birthday.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens. It's Carol Baskin at Big Cat Rescue, and our guy Zion is turning 20 years old. The cool cats and kittens at Overtime have loved watching you play and grow over the years and can't wait to watch you dunk on everybody in Orlando. We're always rooting for the coolest cat around, and that's Big Z. Stay cool.
What just happened right there?
I'm not going to lie to you, Alan. When I saw the video, I could not stop just, like, it's beyond cringy. It's beyond weird. It's beyond surreal. I can't. It's like some of those things you just can't take your eyes off. And then, you know, all the cool cats and kittens, you know, they've really even enjoyed seeing you grow over the years.
It's good to know that show got its love, and then now it's kind of quieted down. It's definitely simmered down. There was a point there. Remember when we started quarantine?
It's because everything. It happened right in the beginning of quarantine. I'm telling you, that's the only reason why
everything was around Tiger King. First of all, everything was around Tiger King, number one. Number two, Joe Exotic, Carol Baskins, whatever names. Like these, they became the most popular names in the States. Like I don't know how many times there were interviews. I think I remember – it might have been Sedano with Dave Roberts or something like that. That's what they were talking about. And then it was Mason in Ireland was having was conversations exactly with like big time names. I'm like, oh my gosh. I mean, they completely took over.
It took over.
Not just your regular media. They took over sports too. I mean, a lot of
well, because there was no sports going on. There was just Tiger King.
A lot of the sports conversations that were going on, there was so much of it was Tiger King. But okay, so I wasn't expecting on Shootout tonight that we are going to talk some Carol Baskins putting out a message to Zion Williamson. All right, well, here's what I got to do now. Thank you, Jess. Thank you, Curtis. We got Bobby Marks coming up. So Bobby Marks, front office insider for ESPN. I got to just kind of see. I know Bobby Marks lives in Florida. So just kind of get his temperature, his gauge, what the latest is going on in the state. Not his concern about the Orlando bubble, but just his thought process, where everything is. Also, I thought it was interesting. He retweeted something that Brian Windhorst put out about no positive tests for the Toronto Raptors, and that was, you know, obviously a great thing because that's one of the teams obviously already out there in Orlando. So we'll get a chance to chat with him about that. If you're just tuning in right now, Dwight Howard will be a part of the Orlando bubble. So Dwight Howard will be a part of the Los Angeles Lakers. That all coming out in the last maybe 30 minutes or so. So we'll talk some more Lakers coming up next. Bobby Marks, front office insider for ESPN, will join Lakers Talk on 710. All right, just a quick reminder. After the show, I'll go on ESPN Los Angeles. We'll do Lakers Talk for about another half hour or so. So we'll do that on social. So if you want to be a part of that. But before we get to that front, let's get our Power Five started. Okay, fellas. So I know we just got a few minutes left, so we'll just kind of walk through this here. So ESPN, I kind of like this. I kind of like when this happens. So there's a new power rankings out for the NBA, and it's asking all the big questions for all the 22 teams, and they re-rank, right? So they're putting 1 through 22 right now. We don't have to say who's first, who's second, who's third, do all that. But what I will say is this. I kind of like when they – I don't know why this happens, but the Bucks are first, the Clippers are second, and here the Lakers sitting at third. In a weird way, I like that because as much as these players say, oh, we don't pay attention to that, we don't care, you know they do. So the fact that the Lakers are behind the Clippers and the Bucks, I hope there's a lot of players out there. And I think probably some of that has to do with they weren't sure if Dwight Howard was going to be a part of the mix or not. So now they, you know, obviously now they know that he is going to be. But you see what I'm saying there, Curtis? Like there's something there where you got to imagine there's kind of a chip on some of these guys' shoulders. And then these NBA rankings come out. They put Lakers third. And I don't really see a reason why they would put the Lakers third.
Yeah, it also just doesn't make sense because they've had the Lakers first literally every other time they've put it up. And they just decided
unless
this
they
time,
think Avery Bradley, maybe they think Avery Bradley and the fact that Dwight could be out too, but now we're finding out Dwight's in it. So, okay, so this is a question. Curtis, we'll just stay with you for a quick second. So you have Milwaukee, Los Angeles, and the Clippers in your top three, correct? Whatever
yeah.
order that you
yeah,
have.
Yeah, no question.
So question I have for you. If you got this top five ranking, who's 4 and 5? So look at all the teams, all 22 that are in there. Who are you putting at 4 and 5?
You know, it's I'm not a fan of them, but I think Houston's mm-hmm. my four. I'm not a big Houston okay. guy. I'm not a James Harden guy, but you know they've done enough.
I've asked a couple people on our show where I basically asked them if there's a team to beat the Lakers or the Clippers and come out of nowhere, who would it be? Houston's the only one that I've heard. So it's I don't think that's a stretch of a pick. I think that's a smart pick.
And it's just an intangible just because they've changed everything. You know, all their rotation mm-hmm. stuff all last minute. So I think that's left to be said.
And we don't know what to expect. Okay, give me one more.
I'm really rooting for Memphis at 8. I know everyone keeps, you know, they bring up the Portland thing and all that, but I think that'd be very interesting.
But you don't have Memphis, but I'm saying your top five.
Like Utah probably
five.
Is my next one. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Utah. All right, Jess, what do you got? We know 1, 2, and 3.
So, like, doesn't yes, matter. The like order. 1, 2, 3, Bucks, Clippers, Lakers, without top a doubt. Five. So, Rockets are mm-hmm. also within my top five, just because you don't know what to expect from them.
I got Rockets too.
Was effective against that, you know, that first game against the Lakers. But it was that first game.
You know what I was having trouble with?
Uncertainty.
You know what I was having trouble with? Whether to put Houston or Boston in there.
Never
but
Boston.
I think I'm going to put Houston in there. I'd put Houston in my top five.
I put Houston over the Celtics, although the Celtics are my honorable mention, which means my other team is a team last year's champions, the Raptors. Can't forget the Raptors.
Nobody's talking
Pascal
about
Siakam
it. Nobody's
is a
talking
star.
About it.
Mm-hmm. That team is deep. That team is talented. That team is ready to prove everyone wrong. So definitely don't
they
count
know how
the Raptors.
To win.
And they're dinosaurs.
Kyle Lowry, Marcus Gasol, Serge Ibaka. I mean, that entire squad. All right, that's pretty much my five as well. So my power five, of course, you got, you know, we talked about Milwaukee, the Lakers, Clippers. I'm going to round it out with Toronto and Houston. Do I agree Lakers at number three? Absolutely not. But that's where ESPN's got them right now. Okay, so the good news today, Dwight Howard is going to be a part of the Los Angeles Lakers. Good news coming up tomorrow. Myself, Kirk Morrison, we'll get things started at 6:30. Crosstalk is 6 o'clock, LA. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great rest of your night.